Hey sisters, I hope you're having the best day you could possibly have with the Lord ever. And I encourage you, if you need to take a moment today, whatever the busyness or the things that are going on around you, if you need to just take a moment and breathe in the Lord's presence and breathe out everything else, take the moment and just be in a moment of prayer, because he loves you and he loves to hear from you no matter what state we come to him in. He's a good dad. Okay, so I just want to read a scripture from Matthew 9:12. So on hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So this is in the NIV version, and just before this verse, Jesus is having dinner at Matthew's house. He just called Matthew straight out the tax collector booth. He's like, "Follow me." Matthew follows him, and then they're having dinner with tax collectors and sinners. Came and ate with him and his disciples. And the Pharisees are, of course, you know, coming after him, like, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And they ask this to the disciples, and Jesus says, you know, "It's not healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous." And as I was reading that, I read Hosea 6:6. There's like the reference underneath, which it just reveals more of God's heart of mercy, that he doesn't actually want you know, our animal sacrifice. So here he's talking about animal sacrifices, because at the time they're doing animal sacrifices to atone for their sins, to pay for their sins, as God had commanded them to in the Old Testament. This is a God commandment. And so they're doing it, but there may have not have been like an acknowledgement of God, or a turning to the things of the Lord, or knowing more of his ways. There would just be like, "Oh, I'm going to just give you this sacrifice," versus like this true acknowledgement of him. And I read in, where is it? Oh yeah. And then a different, like if we go to Hosea 6:6, let me just pull it up. Hosea 6:6, where God first spoke this. That's what I love about these references in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament. And if you have like a little letter or a little, a character by the word, you can always look in the footnotes and see what is it pointing to. Maybe a different scripture where God has already spoken those things. So he's consistent with his word. I think that's really cool. And we can see that. And in Hosea 6:6, he says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." And when I read this, because I'd been asking the Lord, like, what does that really mean? You know, I know these people were doing, and I feel like he had to reveal it to me. I was like, "I know, like, what do you mean by that sacrifice?" And he was like reminding me of that this time there people were offering animal sacrifices. So when I read back to Hosea 6:6, it was just that acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Like, he's like, "I want you to acknowledge me." And there's, I love the different translations, because I feel like it gives like a deeper understanding of what God is really speaking. In the King James Version, in Hosea 6:6, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and knowledge of God," knowing who God is. That's what that means. It's like more than burnt offerings, like a knowledge of who I actually am, more than you just giving me this thing that I've asked of you. It's like he wants this like acknowledgement of him, and amplified, "For I desire and delight in steadfast loyalty," and then in brackets, "faithfulness in the covenant relationship rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." NLT, "I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings." So the invitation of the, you know, like the sacrifice was always supposed to be an invitation of, like, knowing God more, acknowledging and confessing, like, the sin in our lives, but also it was always an invitation to know more of God. And I think that's why, you know, we see these Israelites, and we can see this in our own lives, right? It's like where they've come to have the burnt offerings, but there's no really change of heart. There's no really repentance because there was a part of them that didn't really understand, this is the place where you come to know me. And I think that was just such a, like, it just shows the heart posture of God. It's like, I think we can do things for the Lord and sacrifice things and make these big sacrifices that we say are for the Lord or that we commit to the Lord, but what God really values, right? It's like, I want you to know me and I want you to know my ways, and I want you, there's just acknowledgement and also this faithfulness toward to me. Faithfulness to this covenant I made with you. It's like that's what mercy is, right? It's like, it's like, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Because even these people that he's eating with, right? Even the people that he's eating with, they are tax collectors or sinners. They don't have the knowledge of God. Yet he sits at the table with them. yet he's sitting at the table sharing a meal with them. That's mercy, you know. And even the line he says after that, mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And when we look at this verse, you know, going back to the Matthew 12:9, we see like his God's mercy and grace, and we see it in different versions. It's like, I didn't, you know, and righteous, it's like people that don't think that they, you know, that they're on the right path, but people who know that they like their need for God and know that they're, you know, sinners, their acknowledgement of that. And that's, I think it's just such an important reminder. It's like, that's who God, Jesus came for. And it's his mercy that extended us, you know, salvation, and his grace and his love, that extended us salvation, and that he extends that to others. And there was this article I was reading earlier today I was really reading about God's grace, because I was like, God, your grace, excuse me, your grace is just so, it's so hard to fully describe in just like one definition, right? It's vast. It's so deep. And there was this thing, it says it's impossible. It says in the article, it's impossible to adequately discuss God's grace without mentioning love and mercy. There's these attributes that are closely related, and it's common to see them used together. So when we talk about mercy, it's like, there's just this love. It's like, because of his love for us, there's this mercy. And we see him sitting with these sinners, and which we can all put ourselves in their shoes, because we've all are in that place. Yeah, we were all in the category outside of knowing Jesus, right? It's like we were once sinners, now saints, because of his blood and his righteousness. And so it's like, I'm not come to call the ones who think, you know, they're in right standing with God. It's like, I've come for the sinners who need to know me, who need to experience my love, who need to experience my mercy and kindness. And I think when we realize the heart of God in this area, we'll be more openly ready to receive his mercy and get out of our own works, and also have more love and compassion for others who don't understand. Like, these people he was sitting with didn't maybe not understand the word, the Torah at the time. They didn't understand the prophetic prophecies that have been spoken about Jesus or about what was to come. They didn't have the understanding. So imagine he's sitting at the table, they have all these ideas maybe about God, and disciples are just like, what? I mean, you've probably been in conversations, you know, if you're a believer and people are telling you their beliefs and they're just so unbiblical, or it's like so not aligned with the truth, and you're just sitting there kind of like, okay. But I felt like the Lord, it's like he just has so much compassion and mercy. He doesn't beat them with the gospel. He doesn't beat them with it. He doesn't lord it over their heads. Like, he's like, it's like in his mercy, and his love, he's just with them and where they're at. He meets them where they're at. He invites them to the table, to sit with him and dine with them. And that's where they become into the knowledge of him, right? So I just think that's so beautiful, because it's just, I feel like the Lord has given me this revelation in different contexts, with like family members that, don't fully know him yet. And the Lord was like, yes, like, that's awesome, Jeanette, you know, that, like, I think that's beautiful. You want to share me with your family, but like, mercy, just mercy, you know, like, even if they don't believe, like, the mercy towards them, it's like being kind and loving and compassionate with where they're at and where, and knowing that, like, God, and trusting them with to God, you know, and just being merciful. And even if they don't understand, and even if they have a million arguments against what you believe or what you think, or even if we know the truth, it's like, he never was like lording it over people in a way that was not merciful, compassionate, or kind, or full of love. And he's just wrecking me right now as I share this, because just his kindness and his love and his compassion. And when we understand his heart in this area, it's like we can, again, receive it for ourselves in the areas where we need compassion and mercy, but also receive it so we can extend it to those who don't know the Lord yet. So I just felt that really strongly. This scripture in this verse, I want to read another scripture, just about God's like riches of compassion and mercy, towards us. So I'm going to read Ephesians, excuse me, guys. I need to get some water. One sec. Okay, we're good. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Like I was saying earlier, and what this, you know, thing was about, the article is like, you can't have like, without, it's like God's grace and love and mercy are, it's, they're so intertwined. It's not like these are these separate things in him. Like, he's all of these things. And this is what led me to read Matthew 9:12, was this verse. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So remembering that, even when, and then there's my favorite, I believe it's Romans 5, 13. Let me just double check. It's like, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. I'm telling you, I've said it before on the podcast, but that's the scripture that changed my life, forever, 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 forever. It's not Romans 5:13. Let me double check. I'll get the references right, guys. But yeah, that's a lot. That's the scripture that changed my life forever. Okay, Romans 8 through 10. That is the correct scripture. Romans 5. Oh, I'm sorry. Go back. Romans 5, 8 through 10. There we go. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God. So it's his love and his mercy and his grace that have brought us to this place where we are. And again, it's like us receiving that truth keeps us at a place of having compassion and love and mercy towards others. And that's what I love. It's like the God who is rich in mercy, in Ephesians 2, like I just read, like his mercy is so rich in it, that we can be rich in mercy, that because we've received this gift of salvation, this received this richness of him, his mercy and compassion, we can be rich in mercy and compassion towards others. Even when we don't agree, even when we know that, you know, they're wrong, I don't want to say that they're wrong, when they may get like some of their theology is off or whatever, and they want to argue, or they want to, you know, dispute or all that. It's like we can be merciful in kindness and compassion and love. Because just imagine like Jesus sitting at the table. It's not that we don't speak truth and give truth, but allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us in those moments and always like extending just mercy and kindness. And so this like scripture led me, like being rich in mercy, and the Lord brought up Matthew 9 to me. It's like, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And then Hosea was like, wow, Lord, just your mercy of like wanting us to know like the knowledge of God, like who you actually are and who, like your ways. So I was like, that's what you desire more than like these sacrifices that we try to give you. And you also, it's like even the mercy that we try, like we extend to others, like that's, you also desire that. And just mercy towards us, because it's like, once again, revelation of the mercy he has towards us enables and empowers us to live out like mercy, compassion, and love towards others, right? It's like we can't give things that we have not received. So let's receive that today. And it led me to this other scripture. God's fun like that. It's like taking me on this trail of love and mercy and compassion. And it was Psalm 103. I'm just going to read this and just like, I think we just need to have our hearts melted a bit. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. 103:2. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. That can mean oppression of sin. That can mean oppression like in like physical realm. We were all oppressed at one point. He made known his ways to Moses, oppressed in sin. That's what I mean. We've been oppressed in sin. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. And again, just reading like that, Psalm 103 verse 9, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. When I was reading this, I was like, praise the Lord, because I am so grateful for his compassion. In verse 8, the Lord's compassion and grace is slow to anger, abounding in love. I am so grateful for that, because his mercy, his compassion doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or pay us according to our iniquities. So it's like the revelation and receiving of that. And also so that it's like, who do we need to be merciful towards? Who do we need to forgive and not treat them, even if we've been wronged or had sins towards us? Who do we need to extend mercy, compassion, and love towards as Jesus did us, like as he did unto us? We get to also extend that. So I feel like that honestly is just the invitation to obviously get caught up in just the extravagant compassion, the extravagant love, the extravagant grace that he's bestowed on all of us, but also also just an invitation to extend mercy. I feel like maybe there's even some forgiveness that needs to go down right now. It's like, where are you holding people? Where are we treating people like as their sin deserves, you know? Like even in society, right? It's like, oh, the alcoholic, the abuser, the this. It's like, it's like, where are we treating people without mercy and kindness and compassion? And where it's like, God, first of all, forgive us, you know, where we're doing that. But also like, there's just people, that we may need to forgive individually, where we have, held like we're treating them as their sins deserve, or repaying them according to their iniquities, whether like towards God or towards us specifically. But I just feel like forgiveness, you know, so even if it's like forgiving ourselves and finally receiving that compassion and mercy that we need to receive from the Lord, because he's already given it. So just receive it. And that looks like acknowledging him, right? Acknowledging his mercy, acknowledging who he is, acknowledging his goodness, acknowledging what he's done and his love for us, and receiving it. And one of the ways, it's like, if you don't know the Lord, it's like, what I mean when I say I don't know the Lord, it's like you haven't acknowledged Jesus as Lord and Savior, like the Savior who forgave sin, who died on the cross and became our sin so that we could be born again, meaning born again in the spiritual, that we've now become dead to sin, like he died as our sin sacrifice and forgave all of our sins, receiving that forgiveness, and that he rose from the dead, so that he conquered sin and death, and acknowledging him as Lord and Savior and asking him for that forgiveness that you need, and also extending the forgiveness towards others. Because it says in the word, it's like, if we don't forgive others, that he won't forgive us. And we see that in, I believe it's Matthew 7, the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. So we can do that today. We can ask the Holy Spirit, it's like, where do I need to receive your grace and your mercy? And where where do I need to receive it? And also, where do I need to give it? You know, I think these are great questions we can just ask Holy Spirit, and just, or maybe even know where it is that, I'm sorry, it's Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, verse 9-13. So we'll read through that. But it's just like, where do we need to receive his mercy and his grace and compassion and love for us? And maybe it's that you're receiving Jesus for the first time. And what does that look like? It looks like prayer. And I feel like Jesus gives the best way to pray, but which we'll go into. But it's like, our Father in heaven, verse 9. Matthew 6, verse 9, verses 9-13. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I think it's some versions, I'm not really sure, but I learned this at like church camp a million years ago. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. And it's true. It's like this prayer, the way he taught us to pray in forgiveness, in this daily like recognition of like forgiveness, and not praying with these like sacrificial repetitions that we think are going to get us something, but it's actually a prayer of acknowledging who God is, and acknowledging like our day, like that he is the provider of our daily bread, and that his presence is that daily bread, and that we need him, and acknowledging that like we need his forgiveness and that we need to forgive, and also acknowledgement of that we need him to lead, like keep us in this place of righteousness, keep us in this place and not lead us into temptation, and deliver us from the evil one, where the enemy tries to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. And so it's just this is the way that we're like, it's such a humble prayer to the Lord, but it's also the way Jesus taught us to pray. And if this is you like listening and you're like, I've never acknowledged God as my Lord and Savior, praying this prayer and just like asking him to come live within your heart, and, you know, acknowledging that Jesus is Lord. And if you really believe that, it's like you can pray and receive Jesus, and it doesn't have it. Yes, it could be this beautiful prayer, and that's enough, 100%. But it can be as simple as, Lord, forgive me, and repent, like asking for forgiveness and forgiving those who've wronged you. Okay, so we're just gonna pray and end this wonderful podcast. Thank you for joining me today, Lord. Yeah, just Holy Spirit, just come. Yeah, God, lead us to your repentance, God, your kindness that leads us to repentance, Lord. Your love, Lord, your love that like poured out, your grace, your mercy, God.
Yeah, Lord, and show us where we need to just receive and where we need to be more merciful in our relationships with others, God. Yeah, that we don't see people as sinners, but we see them as like how you see them, Lord, as the ones that you want to know you, as the ones that you desire a relationship, as the ones that you will eat with, God, and the ones that you, yeah, that you actually invited to your table, they just don't know it yet, Lord. So I just pray, yeah, we repent for any way that we've looked at people as like projects or as sinners, like these things, these like labels or whatever, and where, Lord, we need to have more mercy and compassion towards them. And Lord, any area of our heart where we need to receive your mercy and compassion, yeah, like where we're holding on to bitterness or anger or like just even towards like ourselves or other, like whatever that is, Lord, just come and deal with that. Come and heal those things. Lord, just come and heal those things right now, Lord, and set us free. Set us free, God. Help us to let go of those things and let us just be like connected with your heart and your love and compassion. And help us to love others right where they're at, Lord. Right where they're at, God. We don't compromise. We don't not speak truth, but we just love them right where they're at. And lead us in your love, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, God. Yeah, lead us to your everlasting like ways and everlasting light, Lord. We love you so much. And this is a great time to take communion. If you you want to gather some communion elements, highly encourage you to do that. But I hope you have a blessed day. And I can't wait to see you next week on the show.